Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this great privilege to come into your presence. We don't take it lightly. We come with sincerity and with humility. And Lord, we recognize our limitations and we look to you for mercy. Lord, you are the one that, Lord speaks through us. And so I ask for fresh mercy and fresh unction under the covering of my fathers, under the Lordship of Jesus. So that, Lord, this same unction and mercy will be upon my heart and upon my lips, and will be upon the hearts and the ears of everyone under the sound of my voice, including my own, in the name of Jesus, so that your word will flow out of me like a stream of living water, Lord, and it will come in power, in simplicity, in clarity, and in the comfort and the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Doing an internal, eternal work in our hearts, making our wills more submitted to your will, our minds further illuminated by the revelation light from the Holy Spirit, and our emotions further controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Yes, as we pray, O God, under the covenant of our fathers, as your word goes forth, let yokes be broken, let veils be torn and removed, let encouragement come to us, even from Mount Zion, in the name of Jesus, so that as in your presence, Lord, our strength will be renewed, our joy will be full, and Lord, and indeed, Lord, our light will shine even brighter in Jesus' name. I ask for mercy to help me to be concise and to be precise, not saying unnecessary things, being found faithful, Lord, ministering, Lord, to be a blessing, Lord, unto your people, my beloved brethren, Lord, and so causing me to, Lord, redeem the time, not saying unnecessary things, bringing forth out of the treasure of your word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, in Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a great privilege for me. Always it is to be here. I recognize I'm standing here only because of the mercy of God and the covering of my fathers. And I'd like to give honor to my fathers, Pastor and Mommy, for their faithful love and sacrifice and labor over decades, over all of our lives, particularly my own. And I pray that this word will bring refreshing to them, as to you also, my brethren, and lift us up, you know, and so that we can continue to press in, to lay hold on the things God has set before us, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, the Lord dropped a word in my heart today, and it's entitled, Strength in Apparent Weakness. Strength. Let's say together, strength in apparent weakness. Amen. You know, when you think you're strong, may not be when you're strong. And the Bible says that when we are weak, it is then that we are strong. So, I trust that God is going to speak to us today. So, let's turn our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. Let's look at it in the King James. Let's read together, because we are together. Amen. God wants to encourage us. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, my brethren, 12, thank you. 12, verse 9, thank you. Thank you. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Next verse. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. And this is the mindset that God wants us to acquire. I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Amen. Next verse. Okay, I want just to give it to me in the Message Bible. Let's read together. Message Bible makes it more graphic, you know, sometimes, you know, and so let's read it together. And then he told me, my grace is enough. It is all that you need. Tell me, no, grace is all I need. I didn't hear you. Grace is all I need. My strength comes into its own in your weakness. So our weakness makes room for God's strength. I heard that. Once I heard that, I was glad to let it happen. See, normally when we are weak, we don't look forward to a situation where we're weak. It's somewhere you are inadequate. It's somewhere you are overcome by circumstances or situations. We run away from this kind of situation. We like to be in control. But he's saying here that once he heard that his strength, his grace is enough, he said, I was glad to let it happen. Look at this. This is the key now. I quit focusing on the handicap or the challenge and began appreciating the gift. So that situation that you are in, that looks like a handicap, is actually a gift. Amen? It was a case of Christ's strength moving in on my weakness. Amen? Next verse. Now, I take limitations in stride and with good cheer. That's what God wants us to do. These limitations that cut me down to size. Amen? You know, that means that sometimes we are above our regular size. And God has to allow it to cut us down to our size in God. Amen? And then we can increase that size. Because if you have a false idea of your size, you are working on something that is not real. And God doesn't want us to be deceived. So he brings limitation. No, and he says, now you take it in stride. No, these limitations that cut us down to size. Let's read together. Abuse, accidents. We will not have accidents in Jesus' name. Amen? But he's talking about situations and circumstances that you don't ask for. Nobody asked for them, okay? Opposition, bad breaks. I just let Christ take over. And so the weaker I get, the stronger I become. Praise the Lord. Let's give God a super hand. Amen? So that's what God is saying. Now, what is grace? Because you see, he says, I let God's grace. Because grace is the key here. Grace is the unmerited favor of God that gives us eternal life, which is the very nature of God, a substance in our spirits based on the suffering, the death, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we receive that grace. So that's what grace is. It gives us a measure of life. Life on the inside, in our spirits. Mercy gives us life on the outside. That's the compassion of God that gives us life on the outside to overcome the infirmities and limitations of sin. But grace gives us life on the inside. Okay? And we receive that life through the blood of Jesus Christ when we confess our sins. Remember, Jesus Christ told us in John 10:10, I am come that they might have life. So Jesus came to give us life. And not just have it, but have it more abundantly. Now, how do we get? Look at 1 John chapter 1. Let's read it from verse 8. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. So we can understand what it is. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Next verse. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Amen. Look at verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word in us not. So what is he saying? He's saying that the blood of Jesus Christ removes that impediment of sin that blocks that spiritual connection between us and God. Apart from God forgiving us so we're not going to hell, that's the forgiveness, he cleanses. So he removes that sin block, and that blood itself, the life of the flesh is in the blood, that blood gives us that deposit of life. So that life comes through Jesus Christ. All right, and so we receive that life, and he's saying that the Bible talks in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 that we are heirs, talking about husband and wife, they are heirs together of the grace of life. So, grace gives life. That's the point I want to bring out. Grace gives life, you know. And what he's saying, what Apostle Paul is saying here, is that he said, God said, my grace is sufficient for you. So he had a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, something he did not ask for, a situation that was proving to be troubling and was trying to push it away. And God said, look, you are not handling this thing properly. My grace is not enough right now.
And you need to let my grace be sufficient. Otherwise, everything else you are doing is not going to work the way it's supposed to. So the idea here is that we must walk in sufficient grace. That is what God is trying to teach us. So, and God also wants us to understand that deep down, challenges, limitations, and handicaps are a gift because they are an opportunity for God's strength through His grace to come into our situation. You remember the Bible says in Ephesians 2:8, let's look at that. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. We're well taught in this house, so it's the scripture we all know by the grace of God. For by grace are you saved through faith. So grace operates through our faith. As we exercise faith in the Word of God, in the Lord Jesus Christ, we receive grace of life. So we receive life. So that's what he told. He's talking about receiving sufficient life in every situation you find yourself. And making sure you do that. Now, how do we do that? How do we receive life? Look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Amen. Trust in the Holy Spirit to help us. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisted the... Who does he give grace to? The humble. So, the more humble you are, the more grace you have. The more humble you are, the stronger you really are. So your strength is no longer your strength. Your strength is your strength in humility. It is how much of God's strength can pass to you in a given situation. That's how strong you are. So there's apparent strength and there's real strength. Amen. There's an appearance. Samson had an appearance of strength. But his strength was departed from him because he was proud and his grace was not enough. So he fell to all the machinations of Delilah. We will not fall to Delilah in Jesus' name. Amen. But I'm not giving you an example, but he was very strong. His strength was able to, because Samson carried whole gates of a city on his shoulder. He killed lions with bare hands. He caught 300 foxes. Try catch one. He caught 300 foxes. Tied their tails together and put fire in between and send them into the Philistines. You know, so Samson was strong, but he was weak. God wants us to be really strong and our strength to be in him. Amen. So the weaker that we are in a situation, the stronger we potentially become if we let Christ take over. So it's the strength in apparent weakness. So it looks like you're in weakness, but actually it's an opportunity for you to be stronger than what the devil thinks you are can be. Amen? So our faith in Christ, therefore, because grace operates through faith, our faith in Christ must always come into play. Whenever you are weak, whenever I am weak, it's important to remember, you can't just go through that situation alone. And just go through it. You must make sure that God is with you. You must try and connect with God in that situation. So that you can, the real you can come. Otherwise, the real you will manifest. That's what God is saying to us. Amen. Remember, God doesn't allow us to be tempted above what we are able to bear. So anytime temptation comes, there is sufficient grace already. The key is now that we should key in into God in that situation. That's what God is saying. Amen. Let's look at James chapter 1. Verse 1. Let's read it in the Amplified. James chapter 1, verse 1. Let's read it together, brethren. A servant, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered abroad among the Gentiles in the dispersion, greetings, rejoice. These people were scattered. They were displaced. You can say they were internally displaced. They were not in the place where they are supposed to be. And the man is writing to them, and he's writing to them, so they're Christians, and he says, rejoice. They don't have much to rejoice about. Because they're not in their natural environment. Says, consider it wholly joyful, my brethren, whenever you are enveloped in or encounter trials of any sort or fall into various temptations. I don't know whether this describes what you may be going through. It certainly describes some things that I'm going through. Amen. All right. You are enveloped in trials, of any sort, fall into various temptations. Next verse. Be assured. Say with confidence. Be assured. And understand that the trial and proving of your faith brings out endurance and steadfastness and patience.
Next verse.
But let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work, so that you may be people perfectly and fully developed with no defects, lacking in nothing. So what is God saying to us? God is trying to speak to us that these challenges, these trials, these temptations, they are a divine gift. God designed the gift, and then he wrapped it in wrapping paper. You know, when you want to give somebody a gift, you buy the gift. And, so Satan is bringing it for evil. But God says, this is a nice gift. Let me give it to, I won't mention anybody's name. Let me give it to you. Now, wrap it properly. Is it presentable? Very nice. Now serve it. And he's doing that in the hope that he wants to grow our faith. He wants to grow our faith so that we can develop more, let's say together, endurance, steadfastness, and patience. Because that really is the fruit of the Spirit. That development will make you perfect and mature in the perfection. It will bring us into perfection, and then it will mature us in the perfection so that we want nothing. Totally perfect. That is God's aim for allowing. He is not allowing it to disgrace. He is not allowing it to draw you back. He's not allowing it. He's allowing you. He wants you to ride upon the wing of the wind. He doesn't want it to fall you down. You know, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but let me, it's coming to my mind now. You know how an eagle trains her young ones? You know, she takes them to a very high height and then drops them. And they have, and then they try, and then it goes on down, picks it up again. Very soon they learn how to fly. And so when storms come, eagles don't go away. They go into it. And they go up above it. They have the faith that there is space above. And they soar to that above. So this is what God is saying. God is saying, God doesn't, you need to have know what's in God's mind. Because no, we love him because he first loved us. We're not loving him because, you know, he just left us. No. We are responding to the love that he had for us. We believe that he loved us. So behind it, it must be that he is not a, does God do evil? No. So God must have something in his mind for allowing those things to come. And so we must walk with that understanding. So I know it's normal, it's human to say, hey, you know, but no one turn to God. It's the key to turn to God. So that when you turn to God, then God can, because once you turn to God, then his strength begins to operate. You're no longer alone. And that's the will of God for us. So God has designed it to bring his God into our perfection. That's why it's a gift. It's supposed to perfect. Look at the Message Bible. We've read it before, we'll just read it again very quickly. Quickly, so we can make progress. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. So, because if you get out of it prematurely, you may not get the purpose for which he allowed it. It's not any way. It's not the end justifies the means. Chebi, I'm out. We will see it from scripture. Sometimes you can, we will not do that in Jesus' name. You can get out and open the door to more of what you got out of. As we see from the Bible. Amen. May we not fall under affliction in Jesus' name. So what is God saying? And God is saying, relax. I'm in control. Whatever you're going through, maybe it's on multiple sides. God is saying he's in control. Stay close to me. Let my grace be sufficient for you where you are. That's what God is saying. So God allows some storms and challenges, because we've noticed that not all storms and challenges are of God. Some of them are. We were the ones that do it with our own hand. And so we should not do those kind of things. Amen. So, but he allows them so that he can teach us to ride them. And in so doing, cultivate his meekness and lowliness, which gives us access to all the resources of heaven and earth through his glory. Now, I'm trying to break it down the way the Lord gave it to me. Look at Matthew 11, 20 to 30. It's a very popular moment. Still pray from that scripture this morning. Amen. Matthew 11, 20 to 30. So mature and well developed, not deficient in any way. Okay, we've seen that. But that, I want to bring that out from the Yes. No. Give it to me in the King James. Thank you. Come to me. Yes. Come unto me. I don't know how many are here, and this applies to God is calling out to you again. It's not just the scripture we're reading. God is talking to you directly, personally. Say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, peace of mind, comfort. Next verse. Take my yoke upon you. What's that yoke? Eternal life. Grace. That's what he's saying. That grace. Take my yoke. That yoke is the grace. Because you need the grace to carry the burden. The burden is the prayer and all the things that we need to do, Bible study. But the key to carry that is the yoke, is the grace. So take both. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. So God's ultimate design is to give us rest. A state of where the sin nature is totally removed. That's one definition of rest. That's the ultimate definition of rest, that we labor into rest. And then another situation where you are calm, even though things around you may not be calm. You are at peace, even though things around you may be turmoil. Amen? But you are at peace. That's what God is trying to say. Okay? Now look at what that meekness and lowliness does. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 3 and 5. Matthew chapter 5, give it to me, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So the people who cultivate poorness of spirit have access to the resources of heaven. Verse 5. Blessed are the meek. Meek and lowly. For they shall inherit the earth. So with meekness and lowliness, what do you have? Heaven and earth. All the resources of heaven and earth are at your disposal. Look at it. And give it to me in the Message Bible. Right. You are blessed when you are content with just who you are in Christ now. Who you are in God. No more, no less. Okay. The moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that can be bought. Give verse 3 to me. Proud owners of everything that can be bought. Verse 3. You are blessed when you are at the end of your rope. You know, now, in this case, we are not at the end of our rope. Because, you know, when you are at the end of your rope, then you turn to, they say in the world, he that is down needs to fear no foe. But you don't need to get down before you turn to God. Amen? You are supposed to. He's talking with that sense in mind. He says, with less of you, there is more of God and his rule. Dominion. Thank you. Amen. So God is ruling. When there's less of you. When there's humility. Amen. So that's what God is saying. So you have access to heaven and earth. How do you do that? It's through the glory. It's the glory. When Jesus needed to pay his tax, he asked them to go and take a fish. And there was money in the mouth of that's glory. That's not the regular way of getting your tax. But that's an example of somebody whom heaven and earth is serving him. Heaven and earth. Oh, the whole of creation is working together for your good to make sure your needs are met. Amen. It's different. We haven't seen it on vision. We're going to see it before this whole ball game is over. As Pastor often says, by the grace of God. Amen? So the key is, don't create your own storms. Understand that the key is to bring out more meekness, more lowliness, because you have more grace, more strength, and that allows God to be able to then do all the things he wants to do. So don't come out of it just in any way, just no matter what. I've seen our own fathers, Pastor Amon, be in situations where they knew people they could contact to change the situation. But because it was not the will of God, they left it like that. For me, that was the height of maturity. You know, it's humility. You know people that can turn things around on your behalf, but you keep your mouth shut about it and just go through it. Even Joseph told the butler and baker, he said, I'm helping you. Don't forget me. He told him, he begged, I think it was the butler. He begged him. And then don't forget, the Bible says he forgot him 2 years. Amen. But why? Because God wanted the work to be complete. perfect and entire. So Joseph was apparently in a weak situation, but there was so much grace abounding on him. The Bible says Joseph was prosperous. Go and read it. Joseph was prosperous when he was in Potiphar's house, when he was in the prison. He was prosperous. And he didn't have any money. And the Bible says the Lord was with him. And he didn't have any money. Strength in an apparent weak situation. So it's not, the strength is not, I'm always above. Sometimes you can be in a weak position, but if God is with you, you are a majority. Amen. You are a majority. You are reigning in that situation. So that's the will of God. All right. So our greatest asset, brethren, therefore, is who we are. It's our character. It's the level of meekness. It's the level of lowliness. That's the real greatness. That's the real strength. It's not merely what you have. Now, what you have, it will come. You know, it will come. And sometimes God may do it incrementally. Everybody has their path. Sometimes God may let you go like Joseph a long time and then backdate it. Like Mordecai. Backdate it. You know, because no, those things can be a distraction along the way. So God allows you to get to the point where I think he can do this one. And then God now allows it to happen. So this is the making of God. Look at Philippians 3 verse 8. Philippians 3 verse 8. Very important there. And I said on Philippians, thank you. Amen. In Jesus' name we have life. Amen. All right. Yeah, let's read together. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. That's the key in all of this. I want to know him and know him and know him. I don't want to stop knowing him. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Next verse. So Christ is the prize. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. So I see the way Christ sees. I believe the way Christ believes. I speak the way Christ would speak. That's the key. Okay? The righteousness which is of God by faith. Next verse. Next verse. That I may... That's where we're going. Hebrews chapter 8. And God wants, that's love. He wants to write the law. That's the knowing. That we will all know him from the least to the greatest. Everybody will know him. We might all be on the same level, but all of us are knowing him. That's the key. You know, so it's not until you grow to a certain level that you know him. At the level that you are, you can have a relationship with God. And God will be talking to you and be giving you the grace that is sufficient for your particular situation. Amen. That's what God is saying. Amen. Know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. That's the weakness. So you die to self in the sense that you don't do your own will anymore. You're not taking any way of escape. I want the way of escape that God himself designed. And I discipline myself to wait for that way of escape. Even though the storm is raging. Amen. Amen. Next verse. Amen. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. What's he talking about? He's talking, if you look at the 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Bible says that the excellency of the power is not of us, but of God. So we are cast down, but not forsaken. You know, he's given us situations where situations are coming against us, you know, but, you know, we are not overcome. You know, but we are tossed to and fro. And there is an end. You know, that, you know, we which live, 2 Corinthians verse 10 and 11, we which live are always delivered unto death, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. That's the end of where he's going. That's what he's talking about here. That man attain unto the resurrection. It's not a resurrection, no, when we are judged, you know, in heaven. He's talking about a mortal resurrection. It's the redemption of the body and not the glorification of the body. As Pastor has always explained, it's the redemption of the body, not the glorification of it. So your body is fully, so spirit, soul, and body has life of God inside. You have life more abundantly. And is a present continuous reality. Then but God wants many sons like that and wants to release them on the earth. They turn the place upside down. Right side up. Amen. Alright? So that's the will of God. Alright? So it's the glory that will bring all that. You know, but that's what God is saying. So the prosperity is going to come. We're not saying that, you know, the prosperity that is coming cannot be handled by an ordinary carnal mind. The Bible says that expatriates, people that we call expatriates, will come and serve us. Can you handle that? When people are coming from America, Europe, Australia, they're coming to Nigeria to come and serve us and work for us. Now we're the ones going there. Then they will come back. Yes, that's the order. Isaiah 61, verse 5. Isaiah 61, verse 5. Amen. And strangers shall stand and feed your flock. It's your business, not flock. They're talking about flock in those days. You know, your flock. And the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. Japanese, they will come. Chinese, they will come. The South Koreans will come. It will not be us going anymore. We will stay here. Because it will be the safest place on the face of the earth. That's the Nigeria that God is building. Next verse. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. Next verse. For your shame you shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, this Nigeria, amen, they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. That's the will of God. Amen. That for the Bible. Amen. But Isaiah 45, thank you. Isaiah 45, 14. Let's look at that. The men of stature. Yes. And thus said the Lord, the labor of Egypt and the merchandise of Ethiopia and of the Sabaeans, men of stature, shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They shall come after thee. You are not chaining them physically. You are chaining them by the excellency of the wisdom, the excellency of the power, the excellency of the miracles. And are flowing out of you per second per day. Amen. In chains they shall come over and shall fall down unto thee. They shall make supplication unto thee, saying, surely God is in thee, and there is none else. There is no God. Amen. You have to have the humility to handle that. Otherwise, you know how it is now. God forbid we'll be like Uzziah. Uzziah prospered and prospered and prospered until his prosperity it outstripped his humility. May our prosperity not outstrip our humility. May our humility be unstoppable. Amen. May it be untouchable. May it be limitless. That's the key. So you can handle anything that God is bringing. That's the will of God. Now, why is this important? See, because as we grow spiritually, there's the carnal mind that we all have. The part of us that thinks naturally and speaks naturally. That is the enemy of God. And naturally, in every situation, it prefers comfort and peace. It prefers to be left, let me be enjoying, everything be going on well, I don't want any wahala. And that thing can lead us into a place of spiritual ease. It's just stagnancy. Thank you, sir. It's a place where, let me just, I like the way things are. Don't rock the boat. Let's just leave the things the way they are. I don't want them, and everything should be okay. Don't change anything. Just leave, let it be like that. You understand what I mean? But God wants, that's baby thinking. When I was a child, I thought like a child. I understood like a child. But God wants us to have a better understanding. That there is more than your own personal comfort at stake. There is the purpose of God. It's like somebody trying to prosper in a place where there is no stability, you know, there is no security. What prosperity are you talking about? You are wasting your time. You need to focus on the larger issues. And then once those issues are solved, then all of us will come back and come and prosper. Amen. That's what God is saying. That's what God is saying. So this thing can lead us into a place of spiritual ease. I'm going to turn there, but Luke chapter 12. You know the story of the rich fool. His ground brought forth plentifully. You know the story. And he brought forth fruit and goods. And he said the right thing. He said, what will I do with all these things that I have? You know what? I will pull down my barns and build bigger. And then I will put in my fruits and my goods. Which was a lovely idea. Nothing wrong with the idea. But you see, when you want to pull down the space for the fruit, It's not convenient. To create place to keep fruit, it affects you yourself. So you're talking about fruit now because the fruit is spiritual. You know, so then later I said, know what I will do? I will just keep my goods. I will say to my soul. See, soul was the place where he was supposed to pull down and build a bigger barn. So that's what the affliction is coming. He wants to lengthen the dimension of your barn. You know, increase the length, the breadth, the height. So you have more room for fruit. But, you know, he said, that one is for you. It's too much stress. You know what? So take thine ease. Let's build a bigger barn. Because that one is external. We can build a bigger barn, break it down. Doesn't affect me personally. But the one that affects me, affects my appetite, affects my dinner. That Bible says you have to deny yourself. Take up your cross. To be able to build a bigger barn. So that's what he did. And then, you know, so this, and then we see a very good example here in King Asa that I'm trusting God to help. Let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 14. We're going to go very quickly, and I trust that my brethren up there are with me. Amen. God bless you. All right, 2 Chronicles 14, verse 1 to 3. So Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. In his days, the land was quiet. How many years? 10 years. So Asa came in and had 10 years of peace. Okay, next verse, quickly. And Asa did that which was good and right in the sight of the Lord, his God. In the eyes of the Lord, his God. Next verse. For he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places and break down the images and cut down the groves. So he did good things. Just to establish that Asa was a good king at the beginning. Okay, verse 6 now and 7, quickly. So he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest. Everybody say the land had rest. Which is what we like. The land had rest. So land had rest, and he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. So sometimes God gives us rest. Amen. So God gives us rest, and we have rest on every time. And then sometimes God says, okay, switch the curriculum. We're changing. You should trust him. It's time for growth. You need to trust him. You can't stay in one place all the time. So he had rest, and I'm giving him rest. And next verse. Therefore, he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make them walls and towers and gates and bars while the land is yet before us. Because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he had given us what? Rest where? On every side. So they built and prospered. God gave them rest. So God is not a God of it's not a wicked person. You need to understand. It's a God of love. Verse 9. And there came out against them Zerah, the Ethiopian, with a host of 1 million. 1 million. 1,000 and 1 million. And 300,000. And they came to Mareshah. They came against him. This is after God had given him rest on every side. The devil now came. And God allowed it. Amen. Verse 11 and 12, quickly. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God, and the Lord and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. That's the key. We rest on who? On thee. Amen. And in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. Next verse. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. Everybody say the Ethiopians fled. The Ethiopians will flee in Jesus' name. Every Ethiopian in our life is going to flee. Amen. All right. Let's move to chapter 15, verse 1 and 2 quickly. Immediately after, God sent the prophet to him. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. Next verse. And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is what? With you. He's with you while you be with him. For if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. It was a warning. You know, he hadn't done anything wrong. But God just warning him. You know, God does that sometimes. I didn't do anything. I'm just saying, sir, you won't do anything. That's why I'm telling you. But you know, he didn't take it like you ought to. Verse 7 and 8. Same.
Be ye strong therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be.
Brethren, for everything you are going through now, you're going to get a reward. Full reward. In this life and the life to come. Amen. So you are not doing anything. It's not for free. Everything is being weighed, and our work will stand in Jesus' name. Amen. Next verse. Verse 8. And when Asa heard these words, just like you're hearing now, the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. He gave him strength, he gave him more zealous. And that's how we should be, brother. We should be more zealous for God. You know, prayer, more zealous for obedience, more zealous for God. You know, you're giving, doing everything you have been asked to do, doing it diligently, as what happened to him. Okay? Next verse. Let's jump to verse 19. Verse 19, just jump. 19, thank you. And, okay. And there was no more war unto the 5th and 30th year of the reign of Asa. When was the first war? 10 years. Now, he has spent how many years in between without any war? 25 years. See, is God not a good God? I'm just trying. Is God not a good God? So, God now allowed another thing to happen. Look at now. Let's now go to 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 1 and 3. 1 to 3. And in the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, supposedly his brother, strange children. Anyway, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Next verse. Then Asa brought out the silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord, you know, peace at any cost, and out of the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, long, Syria, and that dwelt at Damascus, saying, there is a league between me and thee. He chose to lean on man than on God. Now, God uses men, but it must be God telling you to go to men, not you picking out men and saying, this one is good, one good to help me. Amen. All right. And you know, and as there was between my father, it was tracing genealogy that was not there. And behold, I've sent thee silver and gold. Break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto him. Can you believe? He actually hearkened unto him. Verse 5. Verse 5 to 9. Quickly. Asa the king took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah, and you know, and the timber thereof, wherewith Baasha was building, and there, and built therewith. Five. And it came to pass, when Baasha had it, because you know, Ben-Hadad now went and attacked Baasha. So when Baasha had it, the Bible says that he left off building of Ramah and let his work cease. Next verse. So this was, so the Asa king took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah, which was what Baasha was building against him, and the timber thereof, and they used to build Geba and Mizpah. Next verse. And at that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast not relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of your hand. But he had peace. He had just won. And God was telling him, I understand that they've escaped. No, my approval is not there. You did it your own way, not my way. Next verse, quickly. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubians a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thy hand. Next verse. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have many wars. That's not our portion in Jesus' name. But it's a good example. Look at verse 12 and 13. Just to show you that God is always fair. And Asa in the 30th and 9th year of his reign was diseased in his feet. And his disease was exceeding great. Yet, in his disease, he sought not the Lord, but to the dependence on man and not on God. Started well. We will finish well in Jesus' name. But so God is trying to say that He's our help. All of our help cometh from the. He's our strength. He should be the first person we turn to. Amen. Therefore, we must always seek revelation, insight from God when problems come. Even when it looks like something that you handled the other time, or like somebody wrote you some kind of funny letter, or some kind of challenge happened, and all that. You know, even though always ask God. Because you never can. No, Bible says wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of your time. The stability of your time. You know what gives you victory every time is not a particular method. It is God being with any method that you use. God is, thank you, sir. God is the method. Amen. Very important. Second reason why this is important. Perfecting God's love into our character delivers us from fear and the urge to panic under pressure. Amen. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Let's read that together. Amen. 1 John 4:17. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we where? In this world. That's a big statement. As Jesus is in heaven right now, that's how you are. But it does not yet appear. So God wants it to appear. But before it appears, you must believe it. This is the key. You must believe it, because it's with faith that you create things that are unseen. Hope desires. Faith creates. Love gives. Pastor has always taught us that. Faith, hope, and love. So hope is God's desire. Thank God for fathers. Amen. The words that you can't escape from. They're just there. All right? So God loves you and He has a hope for you. That as Jesus is in heaven, so are you here on earth now. And it gives you a measure of faith to hold that truth. Amen? And it's now as you use that faith to develop the love, you begin to bring that thing to manifestation. So after a while, you become a gift from God to the world. For God so loved the world that He gave. When you walk in love, in the fullness of the love of God, you become a gift to the world. The same way Jesus was a gift to us. Amen? And that's the will of God for us. Amen? So in storms, we take out of the fruit of the Spirit inside us. There's peace inside you. There's love inside you. There's gentleness inside you. So you take out of that inside you and you enforce it in the storm. And you have a great calm. That's what Jesus did, okay? So that's what God wants us to do, you know. The Bible says in James chapter 3, verse 18, says the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So when you are under pressure or you're in a situation, it's not a time to be striving. No. You must make peace. Make peace with human beings. Eh? Then get into your closet and manufacture peace. You create it in the place of prayer, with the word, by faith. And you create, and then as you create it, you birth it into the situation. And then there will be peace. Amen. That's the will of God for us. Okay? No? So it's very important. Look at Psalm 46, verse 10 and 11. Psalm 46, verse 10 and 11. When we're under pressure, it is time for us to be still and know that I am God. That, you see, there's a tendency to panic. That's what we're talking about. But God wants us to be still. To be calm. To be still. And that's why you remember, the Lord, be still. No, I know that I am God. I will be exalted. God is assuring us. He says, I will be exalted among the heathen. It's you they are seeing, but I'm behind you. And I will be exalted. I will be exalted in the earth. That's the will of God. Look at the next verse. What did it say? Next verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. We're not hiding in a place. We're hiding in God. We may look exposed, but we are not. It's an invisible force field that's around us. Amen? All right, so it's important. Look at Mark chapter 4. Just to learn from the story of the disciples. Verse 36. Mark chapter 4, verse 36. Quickly. We know the story. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. Next verse. And there arose a great storm of wind. Okay? He had said before, let us go to the other side. And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Next verse. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awakened. Stop. The problem was not awaking him. The problem was awaking him to what? You look at what they said. And they said unto him, Master, carest not that we perish. Is it possible that you will perish and he will not perish with you? Are you not in the same boat? So you can see that their mind was, they were in a panic. Their mind was on themselves. And what are we going to do? Brethren, take your mind off yourself. Take your mind off yourself and put your mind on God. Why is God allowing this? He knows what I'm going through. He knows what I've been through. He knows where I'm coming from. He knows where I'm going to. So the key is to understand. So you should have said, but Master, what shall we do about this? We are ready to. That would have been a better response than, you're just sleeping, sha. You, of all things you can do is sleeping at this time, not so gone. As if you are awake when he was awake. Next verse. And he arose and rebuked the peace. Rebuked the wind. And said unto the sea, peace be still. From out of the peace inside him. Be still. So out of the stillness, be still. Out of the peace. So it's from inside out. Amen. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he turned round them. Look, next verse. And he said unto them, he's saying to us now, say, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have zero. Faith tank is empty. Our faith tank will not be empty in Jesus' name. So you must fill it. You must be recharging your faith tank. Faith comes by. So you make sure you read your Bible. And hearing by the word. Amen. Very important. All right. What other reason? Third reason and final one that I have. We live by faith and not by sight. And this year is really talking, the way God explains to me, it's talking about fellowship with God. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Give it to me in the Amplified. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. We live by faith. Now the just shall live by... thank you. But the just shall live by faith. My righteous servant shall live by his conviction, respecting man's relationship to God and divine things. Stop. You must understand that physical things are created by and controlled by spiritual forces. And when you have that understanding and you walk in that relationship, you are walking in what the Bible calls faith. That's faith. So you're not looking at anything just at mere face value. You are walking on the understanding that things that we see are controlled by things we cannot see. And holy fervor born of faith and conjoined with it. I firmly believe what I believe, and I'm ready to do anything to prove that my faith is strong. That's what he's talking about. A deep, you can't be persuaded. It's a persuasion. And it comes from being in the presence of a human being. Imagine if you're walking with somebody who, a physical person, who's big. And they're huge. There's a fight going on and people are running away. And this guy is... Why do people have a security detail? Why do people have a security detail? Is it not for security? Why do you have big, even if they can't fight, the people around you don't want to find out. Just the size of the guy, and he's wearing black, and he's walking menacingly, and all that. If they are fighting, they will leave you. Because you walk confidently, because I trust my boys. The reality, you have faith in those men. That's what you do. You have faith in those men. You know, in those men that those men will see me through, but there's someone bigger than them with you at your right hand. So that's why we must have fellowship with him. You know, because the more fellowship with him, the more you have what the Bible calls holy fervor. Fervor, it means fervency. It means you are passionate. You've seen the guy deliver once, twice. The guy is cool, man. Like Elisha turned to his servant and said, "Lord, open his eyes. He's a small boy. These things are there. Let's just open his eyes. No, we have been through this several times." you know. And so the guy's like, "What shall we do? What shall we do?" He's like, "Chill, man. Where is your faith? Chill. Take a chill pill. Relax." You know, and that's what he's talking about. It's faith. The just shall live. But then our faith is not something we bring into operation occasionally. We live by it. We live by it. It is something we live by. We live by it. So every time I'm watching TV, I'm watching in faith. Amen. I'm watching a program, I'm watching in faith. You know, and as you are watching, God is talking to you about what you are watching. Faith. So you don't switch off because it's TV, let's switch off. And then when God says, "Okay, let's put on faith." Now, faith. No, brother. Faith is every time. Not only for exam. Eh? Not spare tire faith. Your faith should be the one that you put on your wheel of your car every day. You know, spare tire, you only need it occasionally. Eh? No. You always make sure that you're living by faith. Amen. Under the covering of our fathers. Amen. So, friends, so in summary, how do we do this? This is something we've been taught over time. So I'm not just going to just touch on this is very quickly and as we close. Look at Psalm 84, because I believe that God just dropped that to me. Amen. Psalm 84. Bob said, "Wow." Amen. Amen. Strength in apparent weakness. Psalm 84, verse 4. Sorry. Verse 4, because I know you need the verse. "Blessed are they that do what? Dwell where? In thy house." So they are children of God. In the right house under covering. Amen. "They will be still praising thee because of their faith." Like Father Abraham. Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So, brethren, constitutions, you need to praise God. Just praise God. Just thank him and give him praise. That, "Lord, I know you are here with me. I don't know. I know this is the way it looks, but I know that you are with me." Amen. Let the high praise of God be in your mouth. Amen. Yes. And execute the judgment that is written. Beautiful. Amen. All right. Next verse. "Blessed is the man whose strength is where? In thee." It's not in my own self. It's in thee. "In whose ways are, in whose heart are the ways of them." What way? The more excellent way. The way of. I'm talking about. Next verse. "Who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools." He's talking, the valley of Baca is the valley of weeping. So it's not sorrow. But he's saying that when they go through a sorrowful situation, they make it a well. A place where you can drink from. You can learn from. You can come out of it stronger. It's a learning curve. God, everything you're going through is the valley of Baca. It is a learning curve. It's not meant to destroy. It's meant to teach. Amen. "And the rain, the teaching, the doctrine shall fill the pool." Amen. That's the will of God. Next verse. "They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God." Amen. This is for Zion Christians. They go from strength to strength. Go from strength to strength. Amen. Yeah, they go from one level of humility to another level of humility. Because that's what strength is. Strength is grace. So they're increasing in humility. Next one. Okay, look to verse 8. "O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob." Selah. Next verse. "Behold, O God our shield, look upon the face of thy anointed." Fellowship. "Look upon my face." Amen. Next verse. "For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." What he's talking about, the fact that I'd rather be in the will of God. I'd rather be on the road to purpose and destiny than to be a millionaire in Canada. in dollars out of the will of God when God is moving from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. And I'm black. That's what he's talking about. I'd rather be a doorkeeper. Any situation I am in and I'm in the will of God is better than my any other better physical, seemingly, physically strong, prosperous situation, and I'm out of the will of God. That's what he's talking about. It's value. Value. How much value do you put on the will of God? Next verse. For the Lord God is a... So, where if it is dark, what will Lord God do? He will shine you out of that place. He is a shield. If they come against you, he will protect you out of that place. Amen. The Lord your God will give what? He will give what? He will give what? Great and what? Glory. Hallelujah. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. The next verse. Next verse. O Lord God of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. After we have said all these things, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. If God helped Joseph find light in the dark prison, if God helped Paul and Silas pray and praise God at midnight when there was no light, if God gave Father Abraham a song to sing, to be strong in faith, giving glory to God, he's right here with us. The same God is with us. We will not be ashamed. So what are we saying, brethren? The instructions that we normally hear. Be planted under covering of set spiritual fathers who are going on the way. Because they have to be on that way. Going on the way of love, and they're teaching you the more excellent way of love. And then develop a meek and lowly attitude towards them, towards God, towards the word, and develop and maintain it. So you can attract sufficient grace and mercy all the time. Practice the divine love, so that, love will be inscribed upon your heart and your trust will be in him. That's number one. Number two, learn to pray with travail so that Christ is being formed and at the same time, all things are working together for your good. It's very important. This is where good morning Jesus comes in, brethren. Very important. Wake up because there's corporate anointing. And one puts 1,000, two puts 10,000. So you can imagine how many things God is turning around. In many places, nations are being affected. Apart from you and I. Because God is doing both at the same time. Simultaneously. Amen. It's very important. Number three, follow after righteousness. And talking follow about righteousness and mercy. In Proverbs 21:21. Here is very important to of course out of fellowship, out of right standing, keep yourself in contact with God all the time. The way Pastor taught us, once every 6 hours, we watch and pray. Then at every opportunity, in every temptation, particularly with our thoughts, praying frequently and fervently, Father, I confess my sins, Jesus, and my Father, Lord, have mercy on me to walk in love. I also give mercy to my brethren to forgive their sins. I pray in the Spirit. That thing is important. You are following after right standing, and you are using that to receive life, and you are giving life out. You are showing mercy to people. So you are practically following after righteousness and mercy. The Bible says you will find life, right doing, and honor. You can never be put to shame. It is going to work for your good. It doesn't matter what they are made. No, it's good to work for our good. Amen? That's the will of God. So that means watch and pray. And then, of course, daily Bible reading, daily church attendance, because we receive life from fellowship with one another, and we listen to apostolic and prophetic teaching, so we find light in the light of our fathers. You have to listen, because it is their light that we receive light. It's very important. And then, of course, encourage the people around you. Turn around and encourage people. Encourage your wife. Encourage your husband. Encourage your children. So that, because sometimes when Satan can't come to you directly, he tries the people around you. So you know what? Go ahead of him and start strengthening the people around you. Encourage them. Amen. So that by the time he comes, they are also standing. And the Bible says, give him no place. Let us pray. We give God the glory. We thank God for covering of our fathers. Let's pray and talk to God. Strength in apparent weakness. We're strong when the Lord is with us. This is just a word of encouragement Lift up your head. The things that you're doing, have the understanding, more important, the mindset that God loves me. He did not bring me this far to leave me alone. He's taking me through. We are going to the valley of Baca. We're going to make it a well. We're going to go from strength to strength. We're going to come out rejoicing. He's a sun and a shield. He will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold. I'm going to walk uprightly. Make those choices. Be still, for the glory of the Lord is shining all around. He burns with holy fire, with splendor in Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me that your presence is with me everywhere I go. Your thoughts toward me are thoughts of peace to bring me to the expected end. The fullness, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So I commit myself under covering to follow after the example of my fathers, to obey their instructions, to keep a right attitude of meekness and lowliness of heart. So in every situation, I will turn to you, and your peace will keep me still. Your wisdom will shine, showing me the way of escape, and your strength will be my strength. So I will mount up above all situations and all those that are against me, showing me the way of escape and helping me to take the way of escape, so that I will overcome every situation from strength to strength, from strength to strength, fulfilling your will for my life in this new day. Heavenly Father, I ask for mercy. Help me to be faithful. Strengthen my weak hands. Confirm my feebleness, so that I will not give up. I will live by my faith in your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Rasatakonga, Jeffrey Keruma, Rapapapa Caceres, Yekoma, Ropapakea, Rototo, Rasoto, Bekango, Jekele Beberia, Ropapapa Kote, Yewomiana, Robobobo Kote Bebe, Rubabababababa, Robobobobo Kote Mosaka, Reneba, Meko Baye Bakoto Bake, Robobo Bayado, Bele. Bele bayoko, roba kato, meko bayena, rombe bebe dikeno. In Jesus' name, amen.